everybody, and welcome to episode 35 of the CCB Health and Fitness Podcast. I am your host, Ryan Van Praet. I'm going to let you know what we've been up to lately. Good Wednesday afternoon, everybody. I believe it is a Wednesday. It's Thursday. Not that it really matters, but it is August 2nd, and time has flown, and you're probably wondering, well, hopefully you're wondering where the heck I've been over the last couple weeks, and that's what today's topic is going to be about. So we're going to talk a little bit about getting in that activity while you are on a trip, while you're on family vacation. So that's essentially where I've been the last 2+ weeks is my family, the whole crowd of us. There was actually 13 of us that took a bit of a road trip across the northern United States over to Yellowstone National Park. So, you know, no rest for the wicked. I thought, you know, while I'm out on the road, I could certainly accomplish something. And we aim to do two things. So the first thing that we were doing, if you were part of our challenge, was the 150 challenge. And that was trying to get everybody to keep track of the amount of exercise that they were doing every week and really aim for those 150 minutes of, you know, moderate to vigorous, purposeful activity. And being that we were in a car most hours of the day and traveling a lot, I thought, you know, it'd be a good opportunity for me to sort of practice what I preach and try my best to really work in those 150 minutes during somewhat difficult situations, you know, because you're out of your routine, you're out of your everyday environment where you know how to access the exercise equipment or the exercise routes or facilities or routines that you're really comfortable with. So I thought, you know, I'm going to try to, you know, get that 150 minutes of activity in at least while in new, unfamiliar environments. And so that's the first thing. And the second thing was really trying to find creative ways and, you know, new ways to get those 150 minutes in and share that with you. So if you follow us on Facebook, you'll see a video that I posted with a little bit of a compilation of some video that I shot along the way, showcasing, you know, how myself and, you know, a lot of it was with Oak, how we got our 150 plus minutes of exercise in. So that's really kind of the focus of today's podcast, is just to let you know kind of what I did and really give you some tips and ideas on how you can sort of get some activity in if you're out on a road trip or you're in unfamiliar situations this summer. So as mentioned, the family, we drove out all the way out to Yellowstone, and we made stops along the way. So it took us, I think, about 5 days to get out there, and then we spent a couple days in the park in Yellowstone, and then we took about 4 days to kind of rush back. And again, one of the big tricks, especially for myself, where my main forms of exercise are swimming, cycling, and running, and a lot of that is indoors. So, you know, obviously swimming in a pool, and, you know, you've got your familiar places to swim. Cycling, I have an indoor bike trainer, and that's where I do a lot of my cycling. And then running is either indoors on the treadmill or, you know, out with friends. So certainly that was going to pose a bit of a challenge to get that type of activity in. But the whole idea was to get your 150 minutes in and be creative and make sure that even if you can't get the exact type of exercise in that you want, you still can get exercise in, and you just have to look for those opportunities. So I'm not going to go on a day-by-day basis, but really, you know, we ranged our trip from big cities all the way down to sort of middle of the nowhere places. So, I mean, we started our trip and the first stop we made was in Chicago. And I mean, that is about as big of a city as it gets in most situations. And we were very fortunate, or I was very fortunate, that the hotel that we were staying in was an old historic hotel, and it actually had a long indoor pool. It was kind of its claim to fame. It had this 25 meter, which is a fairly regular sized swimming pool in its upper floors, in one of its upper sort of atriums. And I mean, that's really a treat. I mean, that's not something that you'll normally see in a hotel pool. So let's look at that to begin with. So if you do enjoy swimming and you do go to a hotel that has a pool, and most of them do. I mean, in our trip, only a handful did not, but most of them actually had pools. So yeah, I got really lucky in Chicago that the one pool we were in was 25 meters. And that is frankly the first time I've ever seen that. So I was able to do lengths, like proper back and forth swimming lengths. But it got me thinking, okay, if you're headed out on vacation and you stop at a hotel and it's got a pool, and it, you know, it might be fairly short and or fairly busy and you can't do lengths back and forth, what can you do? Well, water running is one idea that is a fantastic form of cardio and sort of total body strength as well. So a couple ways to do water running or water walking would be, well, one would be if the pool you're in is all shallow, you know, up to maybe your chest height or your neck height, that's fantastic. Then you can kind of walk or run along the bottom and sort of push off the bottom and try to work your way across the pool and back. And trying to keep that walking form or that running form where you're driving your knees forward and you're driving your hands forward. You do that for 15, 20 minutes and you're going to notice you're huffing and puffing and even breaking a bit of a sweat. So that's a fantastic way to get continuous full body exercise. If the pool is deeper, one of the other things you can try to do is I know a lot of fitness facilities have these, but some hotel pools would as well, is having maybe like flotation noodles or like pool noodles or like flotation devices. And you could either put one of those around your waist or hang on to one of those or lean on one of those and sort of walk, jog across the pool, kind of like you're floating in midair, right? You might not be able to push on the bottom, but you can still drive yourself forward, or even if you're not moving forward, you can still do it in place. So it's kind of like running on the spot or walking on the spot. You're still driving your legs and your arms through resistance, and it's a great way to challenge those muscles and those joints, as well as drive up that heart rate. So, you know, that's one way to be creative when you're looking to get in a quick, efficient way of getting some exercise. I mean, even if this hotel that you're in or facility that you're in does not have, you know, a gym or treadmill or anything like that, but it has a pool, I mean, you're good to go. Let's say you're out camping as well, and you might have a lake, right? And you don't really feel comfortable, you know, swimming far out into the lake. You can do the same thing where you could get a flotation device and basically try to run or walk on the spot, or go into, you know, chest deep water and kind of walk and run back and forth parallel to shore for short distances in that chest deep water and driving your arms and legs forward. I mean, it's an amazingly good workout. So again, I was lucky in the sense that the one pool we managed to find early on was a lengthy pool. So I was able to do my actual lap swimming in that pool. You know, another way I was able to get exercise in sort of maybe the more traditional form was in the hotel gyms. And the hotel gyms, I want to talk about to finish off the podcast here in a second, you know, sort of the benefits of hotel gyms. But I was able to find, you know, treadmills. I'm not a lover of treadmills. I mean, I have one at home and they serve a purpose. But being a visually impaired person, yeah, you know, they pose their problems, right? They pose their challenges and certainly ways you can work around them. But every new hotel gym had a new treadmill and a new shape and a new location on the buttons. So, you know, there was some, I want to say hiccups at the beginning, but the very first treadmill that I did hop on, we were in Deadwood, South Dakota. So it was just east of Yellowstone Park. And I mean, the middle of nowhere, South Dakota, kind of between Mount Rushmore, where that park is or where that location is, and Yellowstone. I mean, just this middle of nowhere kind of location, famous for, you know, the Wild West. Anyways, it was this older building, this older Holiday Inn, I believe, and it had this treadmill, which was super short. I mean, you had to be pretty close to the front of it, and it wasn't very wide, and it wasn't very long, and I'm just shy of 6 feet, and so trotting even at a slower pace. My stride length is pretty high, and twice I almost fell off the treadmill. Didn't. I was able to catch myself, but yeah, certainly way different than treadmills I'm used to, like at home or at a gym, that are generally wider and longer. But you know, you make do with what you can, and the trick with how I managed this was having my wife come in and basically before I started, sort of going over really quickly where the various buttons were, right? And if the treadmill is really convoluted and really tricky with lots of fancy buttons, really just look for the basics. Look for, okay, where's the start button and where's the stop button, right? Those are the two main things you need to know. And then where is your speed up and down? Depending on the treadmill, depending on your level of vision, it really depends on if you're going to be able to see the time, the distance, and all that sort of fancy stuff. So for me, I look for the start button, stop button, and then where are the up and the down buttons for speed, and then any of the other information is kind of bonus. And that first treadmill, certainly there wasn't a lot of, it was a terrible treadmill for seeing, so hence almost falling off a couple times. But the other two treadmills I managed to find later in the adventure, in the vacation, were better, right? The start and stop buttons were very obvious. The up and the down buttons were very prominent. They're very easy to find. They weren't kind of hidden on one of those flat touchscreen consoles, which are just nightmares for us visually impaired folks. So these later two treadmills actually had more pronounced, more easily accessible speed and incline buttons, and the data on the screen was a lot bigger and easier to see. And one of the questions too is if you're on that treadmill and you're thinking, well, you know, how do I tell time, right? How do I understand how long I've been on there or how far? You know, a couple of things. You can always hit the pause button and take a look. Or you could set your watch to a timer or your phone to a timer. You know, most people are going to have their phone with some headphones in to listen to some music. You could set a timer that beeps at, you know, 5 minutes or 2 minutes before your desired time is up. So if you want to go on for 20 minutes, set it to maybe like 18 minutes and it'll beep and you're like, okay, I'm almost done. And then you can kind of go from there. Yeah, and so that's certainly one way to do it, is sort of set that timer on your watch or on your phone. So that was sort of the more traditional ways I was able to get the activity in, was with swimming, with the treadmills. But because you're in a new spot and you're kind of rush, go, go, go every day, you know, there wasn't a lot of time to do a lot of the other traditional kind of exercises that I want, or even do a lot of exercise within the gym, because, you know, you're driving to your location, you're unpacking your hotel room, you're going to have dinner, you're hanging out with your family. So I was trying to squeak in that activity. So the actual bulk and majority of the exercise that I did get while on vacation was walking, and that was primarily with Oak. So he got a lot of his walking in as well. So the beauty of, I guess, road tripping is that, you know, you're generally sightseeing, you're generally stopping at places and looking at monuments and going to, you know, parks or just exploring in general. So pretty much every location we would go and see something, and that involved some walking and some basic walking, like on a bike trail, you know, flat kind of, I don't want to say boring, but general location to do some walking, you know, some sidewalks, some parking lots, some just general easy back and forth, you know, walking through the hotel, to the hotel, around the hotel, you know, to dinner, back and forth, you know, your steps add up. Was it as vigorous as I wanted or I'm used to? No. I mean, to be honest, that was one thing that was the challenge, was trying to get activity that's vigorous enough to really get that heart rate up. And we didn't have that a lot. We had a good amount of volume of walking, but the intensity of the walking wasn't quite what we're used to. So that's, you know, where I used the run on the treadmill to really help boost that. The other beauty about the walking is you're getting a varied terrain. So if, again, you did watch that video on Facebook, kind of the fun challenge was for me and for the dog was, you know, it's hilarious because, you know, you're getting passed by a toddler or, you know, somebody who, you're getting passed by, you know, a toddler or just any Joe Public on these sort of trails and uneven steps. But I feel like a mountaineer, you know, I'm here with my dog and there's, you know, a dirt path with some roots and some rocks, or, or you're on these steps that are made of rocks, so they're uneven and they're not, you know, uniform distance, etc. I feel like I'm, you know, summiting Mount Everest. This is this epic journey, and you know, a three-year-old toddling past me, no problem. So, I mean, my perceived level of difficulty maybe was a bit skewed due to lack of vision. You know, then my danger effect probably wasn't really there. It, you know, wasn't a dangerous trail, and it wasn't, you know, off-road hiking by any means, but it certainly was challenging. It was challenging mentally, you know, to really coordinate and work with the dog. And it was also challenging physically because, you know, with poor vision, you know, your balance is a real huge thing with vision loss is you know, maintaining your balance and really feeling sort of centered and grounded and where you are in space. And so anything that's uneven and anything that's bumpy, you know, kind of throws you for a loop. So I did enjoy that. I enjoyed sort of the uneven trails we were on or the uneven steps because it was a bit of a mental challenge as well as that extra physical challenge. So you'll notice in that video, if you watch it, a lot of our walking was accomplished on general, I don't want to say trails because they were not really trails, but they're sort of dirt paths with unevenness and roots and rocks and stuff. And then a lot of steps made of random, you know, flat rock and concrete blocks and stuff. So not your typical, you know, office building steps that are very uniform and very predictable. So, you know, that was one way we got a lot of our activity in through this vacation. And it was really about trying to find opportunities to be on your feet and to be moving whenever possible. So, you know, that's what I would encourage you to do if you're out on vacation this year, is just look for those opportunities, taking the steps whenever you can, adding up the minutes however you can. So, you know, walking three blocks to your dinner destination, right? And just kind of wandering around. Our family calls it whimsy. And what we describe as whimsy is, you know, if we're going from A to B, but we see something along the way, we kind of wander off the path and kind of take a look at something spontaneous. And I mean, that adds up over time and it adds up to a lot of extra steps. So I guess not being as rigid in your expectations on what type of exercise you need to get in and not being rigid in your expectations of how you're going to get from A to B is just being fluid, being exploratory, and just being creative. And that'll really help you keep active on the go. So one last thing I want to touch on is, you know, I really got thinking as I was running on the treadmill the one day, is how a fitness facility in a hotel is almost a perfect place, in my opinion, for a blind, visually impaired person. And the reason I say that, and we'll sort of end the podcast on this, you know, thought experiment, is I'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well. But in a hotel gym, the cool thing is that they're generally not very big. They're generally a, I don't know, 10 by 15 foot space, maybe a little bit bigger. They probably have limited amount of actual big physical equipment. So they might have two treadmills and maybe one bike or one rowing machine or one elliptical machine. And then they generally have, you know, a space for floor mats. So like a mat where you can do stretches or exercises. They generally have one bench, like one flat bench. And they generally have sort of a row of hand weights. And that's the beauty of hotel gyms, is the fact that, you know, the clutter is less, the amount of big bulky machines is less, you know, less risk to trip on stuff, to bump your head on stuff. And, you know, the selection might appear to be minimal in terms of the equipment, but really, for what most of us are looking to accomplish, you can do a ton of stuff with just your body weight and with a few hand weights and then the cardio machine. So, you know, I would say that being in a hotel and seeing that gym should be seen as a positive. It's almost like a comforting space for a visually impaired person because you don't generally encounter a lot of people there. You might be the only one in that fitness facility, or there might be like one other person. So it's not a big, huge, you know, public fitness facility. So take advantage of it, right? And if you're going to travel and you have questions on, okay, well, how in the world do I get a good, solid, you know, even half hour workout in while at the hotel gym, right? How do you do that? Well, let me know. If you're going to travel and you're expecting to be in some hotel facilities anytime soon, let me know and I can certainly chat with you and give you some ideas. And if I get a good response to that particular question, maybe we'll focus a podcast on that. But really think of those hotel room gyms as advantages. It's a good, generally safe, generally confined space with you know, less bulk and clutter. So that kind of crossed my mind as I was in one of those thinking, you know, this is, it's kind of cozy, it's kind of comfy, and it kind of, you don't sort of feel lost in space, which is really cool for a visually impaired person. You feel, you know, you can kind of understand where you are in the room, and that's comforting as well. So that's a bit of a rundown on how, you know, you can look to keep active while on vacation. It's really about being creative. We tried our best to be creative while on our vacation. You know, we did the typical exercises of swimming and running on the treadmill, but really hit up a lot of extra walking and a lot of opportunities in that regard. So I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'd love to hear how you keep active on vacation. I'd love to know if you're going on vacation and you're getting into some hotel fitness facilities and if you'd like some tips on that. And thanks for tuning in and not being too upset that I've been on a bit of a hiatus. We've got some interesting and fun things coming up in the near future, but I thought I'd just throw out this podcast just to let you know what I've been up to and to pick your brain and see how you guys keep active on the road. So thanks a ton. Have an awesome beginning of your August, and we will be in touch soon.